Okay, it's 5:15. We'll open up the work session. So, I know it's not on the not on the agenda, but I still want to, or not on the wasn't listed here, but I thought Jerry was going to be here to talk about the clerk in there. He's not here, so we'll move on to something else. When we talk about the next thing on there is the permitting decks and fences.
Yeah, so I recently got with the code enforcement officer, talked about permits for decks. He did clarify that, said, you know, you need a permit for a deck when it's attached to your house, any fixed structure that it's attached to your house, and he printed off the building permit fee schedules. But we don't have anything permits for fences whatsoever in the town of Lysander. What does that mean? People can put up any type of fence that they want, any height that they want, and they can put it anywhere on their property that they want. They can put it in their front yard, they can put it in an easement, which they shouldn't, but a lot of fences are in easements. So what I did was, I did some research. You know, pretty much every other town has a permit for a fence. I got with the town of Clay's permit right here, which I gave you guys, that says, you know, their permit process. They charge $30 flat fee for a permit. You know, it can't be, and this is something that we should look at, it can't be, you know, in your front yard, it can't be more than 7 feet tall, it can't be in any drainage easement or right away. So that way, and also we also have to look at the good side and the bad side, like a wooden fence, there's a good side to the fence and there's a bad side. Who's to say that your neighbor or whoever's constructing the fence can't put the bad side facing you, so that way you're stuck with it, right? As opposed to that, they're paying for it. They, you know, you would think they could do what they want, but we have to look at these issues on hand.
Have we had issues?
I'm aware of a few complaints. My parents built a giant fence, so I'm aware of a few neighbors having concerns. The devil's advocate argument is there isn't anything on the books right now. Taxes are high. People should be able to do what they want with their own property. And the government, I think, likes to get involved significantly. And on a local level, I don't think we should.
Well, I wouldn't say, it's not a tax, right? It's a permit. It's a fee to put, if I want to put a pool in my yard, I have to get a fee or a permit, correct? Okay. It's my yard, I can do anything I want.
It's on the books right now. I just don't know if we should have a government regulating how high fences can be. If I live out on Lampson Road or on...
In a residential, I would frame it as residential area. I wouldn't want a 12-foot fence next to my house, right? And there's nothing that would preclude my neighbor from doing that right now.
It lowers neighboring property value.
Yeah, it decreases your property value, and there's nothing on the books that precludes that, and we need to look out for our neighbors to protect them, right? That's what we are. We're government looking out for the residents of Lysander, and I think this would be a great protection for their neighbors. I'm kind of stunned that there is no permit process for a fence.
So, I'll go back to, of course, I'm aware of that. Have we had any issues? Have we heard of any issues? Have any issues come up regarding fences besides this one situation?
I see them all the time with people that construct fences and easements that they have no idea that there's even an easement there. We'd be able to identify those situations, save the homeowner's cost and expense if there was a permit process so that we could identify to point out to them that, hey, there's an easement here. Can't block drainage by putting a fence in it. You have to not construct the fence out in the easement, keep it outside of the easement, or, you know, we have the authority to take it down at your expense, and it's a problem.
It's not just the fence, okay? So someone puts a fence out in the easement. Mm-hmm. What's the next thing they do? Landscape in the corners inside the fenced area, mm-hmm. which obstructs drainage even further. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just the fence itself. I mean, because you can hold the fence up 4 or 5 inches.
Absolutely.
The big puppy dog ain't going to get out, but they landscape in the corners, they, all kinds of stuff ends up happening in a fenced backyard.
Or they put it right on the property line. How do you maintain the outside of the fence but without trespassing onto your neighbor's property if you build a fence right at your property line? Most towns have a 2 foot, a minimum 2 foot setback requirement so that you can maintain your fence on your property without trespassing onto your neighbor's property.
So has this come up as an issue though?
Oh yeah.
So give us an example.
I've had people complain that their neighbor's coming onto their property to fix a fence or paint a fence. We get calls on that on a regular basis. Or
putting mulch against the fence.
Yeah, putting mulch against the fence. The neighbor puts mulch against the fence and it rots the bottom of the fence. And people complain that, hey, they ruined my fence. It creates a
drainage issues too.
Oh, you know, big water drainage issues. It's something that we see in my office and the code enforcement office, and even Jerry gets calls about it on a regular basis.
I've gotten calls too. My office too.
Yeah,
it's whenever it rains, we get these calls.
Yep.
It's mostly a drainage issue with the fences
and
the things they do in the backyard after they fence.
And maintenance. Maintenance is another big thing.
And you don't have to make the permit cost prohibitive, let's call it.
Just
prior is $25 and it's an educational opportunity.
Right, to make sure that it's place
make
where
sure
it
they don't
be.
Put
like,
it in the
how to play charges 30. We don't have to charge 30. I just use this for an example or a guide. Right?
It's a minimal fee so that it's done correctly.
Yeah.
Right, is what it's for.
I mean, the setback is the big thing to me. We want somebody else, even if it's your neighbor, walking on their property. And how do you maintain your fence if you build it right on the property line without going on your neighbor's property?
Right. And I can, you know, it was quite a while ago, but when I lived in Clay, in the Ponton Knowles development, there was a drainage swale easement with catch basins all down through between the two streets of houses. And everybody put their fences right out there. And then when it rained, the water laid there. And then guys would try to maintain, and they were only keeping them off. This was in clay, it was only like 6 inches. And you could literally tell the guy, hey, I don't want you in my yard.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to paint your fence? You better be able to do it from your side.
Yeah.
And, you know, the town could have at any time, with all that water issues, could have come right down through there. There were pools with in-ground pools with concrete, aprons around them, into the easement. I mean, you know, these permit processes are basically protect people from themselves.
Exactly.
The contractor's gonna come in here, oh, you want concrete around the pool 4 foot all around? Okay. He don't care.
Yeah, you wanna set your fence 6 feet beyond the concrete so you can landscape that area and it's in the middle of a drainage easement, you're putting landscaping in the middle of the drainage easement and it creates a backup into your neighbor's yard.
When he gets to check and he crosses his tailgate, crosses the end of your driveway, he's all set.
So to answer the question,
Yes,
it's an issue.
Yes.
Wow.
On a regular basis.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so let's say you have a new program here. This is hard to talk.
So move over here in the middle.
I'm going to move over here.
Please.
I'll start here for now. So right now the public is unaware that would be, let's say we pass something tonight, just hypothetically. We're not going to, but let's just say we did. The public is unaware that there's a permit, now there's a new permit program. So how does it get implemented? And the second part of that implementation question is, where does Tim Walsey have the time to do this? He's already complaining to us legitimately that he's so backed up. I mean, every second of every day he's doing something and he's basically saying, I'm drowning. So I'm gonna move so you can.
I think a lot more people are putting in more fences than they're building houses right now. And two, I think you go back to the implementation phase on how have any of these in the past been implemented? Decks, sheds, porches, porch barns.
Well,
I
actually
know about all this.
I've been a builder 4 years, and I used to do a lot of stuff in Lysander, and I come here, and someone would want me to build them a deck or a fence, and I'd go back a ways. And you'd come here, and Dennis was the guy all the time. And you'd say to him, hey, I'm in here to get a permit for, I'm putting up a deck on it. Look, we don't care about the decks. We don't care about the fences. We pretty much figure everybody's going to have one. That was the old rule here in Lysander. But a lot of people today actually will say, oh, I gotta go get a permit to put this deck up, and they come over and they go, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people anticipate that because so many towns do require it.
I'd say the other thing you do is you put out a notice to all the local contractors. Our new code requires permits for decks, fences, and to the home builders that your building permits are gonna require a site layout and grading plan. Just basic, just what the elevations are gonna be at property corners and around the house, so you can show that you're not creating a drainage problem like what we are correcting over in Talamore. We just voted to correct over in Talamore at our last meeting.
Well, not only that, if we have that process there, and we looked at it the other day, there's if people put a shed up on, in an easement they don't know that they shouldn't have it there, and most people don't, or they put a fence up, some of these people are spending thousands of dollars for their fences and things, and we don't want to go in, be the bad guy, and have to fix a drainage easement because they didn't know it wasn't there, and then we got to rip their fence up. I'd much rather have them pay $30 and have us go out and take a look at it, or $20 or whatever, and then get a permit so that they don't have problems down the road. Because I think, I know if I was putting up a, I spent, you know, 25 years ago, I spent $5,000 for a fence. That was 25 years ago. And if I had to take down half that fence because it was in an easement, that I wouldn't have been happy with that. I would have certainly would have rather have had a permit. I was in Clay at the time, and they did have a permit, so I stayed out of it. So I think it could cause us some grief with the citizens, and also save them some headaches, you know, when we got to tear down their stuff, because nothing's cheap anymore to put up.
So all of that makes sense. One question that we probably, is a legitimate question that Bob had. Tim says he's overworked. This adds to his workload. What do we do about that?
People don't put fences up in the winter, though. So you just add on a part-timer in the summer.
Doesn't he have a part-timer now? And how many permits has he approved in the past month?
Well, I don't know, but that's why we're holding this discussion.
Well, that's not a good metric, but going forward,
what we're doing is it
right now, we've got a backlog because we couldn't issue permits for 2 months.
The last time I spoke to him about that, we were talking about the grading site plan and the driveway permit issue. And I said, I'll, you know, someone said, geez, Jerry, you're going to have to check all these driveways. And I said, how many do you issue in a year, Tim? 50. So if you broke that down to 1 week, how long does it take me to swing by a place and go, no, you don't want the driveway coming out on top of that catch basin, or no, there's an easement in this backyard, you don't want the fence to go out into that town-owned drainage easement. You
know? And he looks at it after, too. He doesn't look at it right after it's been installed. He might take
no,
it.
No, you look at it before they build it, right? Get the permit. The guy has to come here and get a permit, and that gives you, well, what's your address? Oh, okay, you bring it up on your map or whatever, and okay, you've got a drainage easement down there. Your fence has to stay this many feet.
Well, you provide a drawing too for it, right?
Yeah.
Like you do.
And then you say, "Oh, here, you give this to your contractor, so he doesn't, you know."
Right. So we're saying, you know, Jerry, Jeff, and anybody else, we're saying it's not adding that much to your workload.
I wouldn't say so.
What would Tim say? You know, because someone might say, "I don't know," and if you know, you don't know what I do,
right,
for my job, you might say, "Ah, you know, that's nothing. He can do that. That's nothing." What would Tim say? Like can we ask Tim?
The flip of that is, if somebody doesn't take this on and keep it straight at the onset, then he has to deal with it, and I have to deal with it, and everybody has to deal with it later when it's done wrong and we've got a problem.
Jerry, and I'm not saying we should have input from the person who has to enforce it.
From a staffing standpoint, I think you got to look at it as, if you got to add another part-time guy in the summertime to keep up with it, I would think,
paying for it, so.
I can tell you this, I see easily 15 to 20 dig safe tickets a week for fences going up. You can cover a whole lot of a part-timer's salary in permit fees for fences and decks in this town. If Tim needed more help, and you know, theoretically, it should be a revenue neutral expense.
Well, and you're also, let's face it, you're also making it better for the residents overall to mitigate problems in the future.
And aesthetically too.
Yeah. I mean, it helps property values. There's a lot of things that these pieces of legislation Jeff is suggesting can help the residents with.
Well, how many do you think in a month regarding fences?
In the summertime?
Yeah.
50, 60, easy.
Really?
Yeah.
All throughout the summer?
All throughout the summer. Yeah, for the months of May, June, July, August, into September. Yeah, I see a lot.
And right now, too, pool seasons, pools, people are putting pools left and right now, which require a fence.
Yep.
Because people are staying home for the summer.
A lot of the fence dig safe tickets that I see are related to pools. You'll see a permit, a dig safe ticket for the pool, and then a separate contractor does the fence, and he'll put in a dig safe ticket. So, I mean, that is a big part of it, but it's, I mean, I would think that it would be something that could be revenue neutral if Tim didn't have the time to do it. You bring on another part-timer to handle the additional workload. I mean, this isn't going to be a quick process. This is going to be... If we're going to implement this, the earliest you're going to see it happen would be end of July, beginning of August. And then it's going to take a little bit of time and growing pains to get it up and running. And it's something that we would definitely probably need to account for in the 2021 budget if we go forward.
Bob, I would be more than happy to help write the code as well.
What?
I can work on that.
Okay.
And help with research of other towns. And so I will help with the code for sure.
I agree with Pete that we should have Tim here to before we. I don't think it's a bad idea because I think that there are problems that the town runs into and also the residents are running into. It's more about the residents. If I was a homeowner, I wouldn't want my $10,000 fence ripped up because we got to do an easement deal.
Or buy a house that already has that.
I mean, so. I agree with Pete that Tim should be here, and then between Jeff and Tim and Dina, maybe come up with a plan and then talk to Tim, see what kind of resources he would need to cover that. But I agree with Al also, it could be revenue neutral if we get somebody that we bring in. And is that something that an intern could do?
Yeah.
If we got that intern program, now we didn't do it this year, but if we had an intern, that's something where we could utilize an intern as well, because we use them anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, you could even use an intern, not necessarily an engineering intern. You could use an intern that's going for public safety or criminal justice,
That's a good point.
You wouldn't necessarily have to find an engineering intern. It could be somebody that's going for public safety or criminal justice or political science or.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anybody that wants to be involved in government, this would be a good learning experience to what local government does for an intern.
Yeah.
So could I throw out what this should look like next? So Tim, working with whoever who's going to help him, Jeff, Dina, and maybe even you, Jerry, puts together a proposal for what a fence permit program should look like. And I hope it wouldn't be that onerous. I hope it would be sort of, you know, where we're not really nickel and diming, not so much nickel and diming, but really being persnickety about every little aspect about a fence. If you use a cedar fence, you got to.
No. It's not going to be onerous.
Okay. Yeah, because it doesn't need to be the village code.
So that proposal comes to us, and I would like to see it accompanied by a cost of implementing, as well as a projected revenue. And we can put the whole package together. This is what we're going
to
do.
I'll never be able to get projected revenue because I don't know how many fences there are.
No, but I...
Someone might know.
I can... When I see a dig safe ticket for a fence going in,
okay,
so I can start... I can start...
We're not going to hold anybody to it, but here's the program. We're going to charge $30 because we think we're going to have...
Or even $25 or $20.
Start June 1st. I'll start cataloging those dig safe
tickets. All right.
We're going to hire a part-time person, and they're going to... This is how many fences we think permits we're going to give out times the $20 or $30, and this is what we're going to pay the person. It's a cost neutral program, and that's what I'd like to see come to the town board for a vote at who's, and, you know, at Tim's discretion when he can bring it to us. And Al, hate to put you on the spot, but we have a deck permitting program?
Only for second story decks.
That's right, exactly.
Because I asked Tim if I had a deck attached to my house, he said I need a permit to be pulled.
We don't have a permitting program. I don't think we passed that.
Anything that's structural should be a permit.
That hasn't changed, I think, since the days of Owen Dennis, because I used to ask for those.
Why don't we get Tim here?
Yeah, we'll get Tim here.
For the next meeting, and then we can be talking to him about this as well, and get his input as far as, you know, what it should look like, you know, what resources he would need, and then, you know, we don't have to do it tonight, but I mean, we can get him in here, and then...
I was going to ask you, Jeff, I saw there were decks on here.
Yeah, but then after speaking with him, he said you didn't get...
The real important thing with that, it isn't so much, you know, pretty much every house is going to have a deck on it. My thing has always been, from a safety standpoint, so many decks are put on by weekend warriors,
right.
And the permitting process in that particular item would lay out for them, you know, spans are going to be no more than this, joist sizes are going to be no more than that, connection points are going to be done this way, because you get those up in the air more than 3 feet even, people break backs, too many people partying on the deck, it isn't built strong enough, they slip down the post, they crash into the backyard. I mean, I've picked people up from those kind of incidents. A lot of people can get hurt.
Yeah, I was thinking more of a structural deck, that's attached to the house. Because if you got 4x4s that it's leaning or right next to the house like that much, you shouldn't have a permit for
it. But even the attachment points to the house, you know, they have to be through bolted,
right,
not just lagged. You know, and I can tell you right now, there's a million of them in our town that are just lagged into the wall, right over the siding.
Well, the danger of what you just said, Jeff, is in the wintertime, if they don't put the post deep enough, the deck heaves and you can't open the door, then you lost the flow of emergency egress.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, those things should be, I mean, we all know somebody that's got a deck that they can't go out on in the wintertime because they can't get the door open because it heaves every year.
Part of our process was always convincing the person, you know, step down 8 inches from any door that comes out onto the deck, and that's why, because we're in the Northeast.
Well, that's why mine is like that.
I was going to say that, and
you know, those little things would make
water nice sitting against the house.
They would make the item attached to this person's house, be it a deck, be it a fence, be it whatever, it'd make it nicer, more habitable for that person. They would, they wouldn't have these pitfalls. So,
so we good with that? We'll get Tim here next time, and in the meantime, we'll Al can start.
I'll start
keeping an eye on it,
and why don't, if you want, I can call other towns and get their how many.
And then my last item I put on there. I only put 3 on there, Tony. Sorry, you guys had your list, but it's grading plans, right? I think we should have something for a grading plan because Al, as you mentioned, Palomar, we're starting to see some issues, and
I know I've seen it for years.
Right. Well, yeah, I know of 2 issues on hand. I can't say the other individual's name, but where the builder graded wrong, right? You had multiple builders, they're grading your lots this way, and now we have water everywhere, right? And the homeowner's now responsible, and or the town is, because there's an easement there. So if the builder provided a plan on how they're going to do the grading, we make it uniform across the way, then we shouldn't have these issues that we're having now that town's spending money, right? So I'm sure Al can talk more about that.
Yeah, I mean, you really hit the nail on that. We just approved one in Talmore 2 weeks ago.
For $1,200, yeah.
Could have been avoided. Actually, that homeowner came back to me just 2 days ago and said, ask for more help.
Where in town?
So if you go to the T, go to the right. Remember where the catch basin is?
Yep, right there,
right behind his house. There's an old drainage swale.
That's all uphill.
Joe and Joe.
There's an old drainage swale that looks like it drained the farm field before.
Yeah.
That was never tied into anything, and now it just holds water. And there's no place to, from a grade wise, to get it out to 370 without making a canyon through private property. And there's no easement between the houses to get it out to the road. mean, we're helping them in that. We'll pay for materials to do it, but we want them with their contractor to put it in. It really is something that could have been avoided had the builder had provided a grading plan for the site so that they, you could see, identify those problems before the permit was issued.
So you're saying when we approve a new development, they don't provide grading plans?
No, all they do is a survey, show where the building is on the lot. That's it. Just a boundary survey with a building on the lot. Don't show any utility connections. Don't show as minimal detail as you can imagine.
Having been on the planning board, that was the plans we got put in front of us. That was what we made approvals on, was, like you said, lot division, how many houses in this development.
What the setbacks are.
Turn radius of the roads.
Yeah.
So that we knew big trucks could get around corners. And I mean, there was nothing about grading.
No, the grade. I mean,
there is.
Yeah, like, yeah, but as like far as the individual building, areas. Yeah, the individual building plans.
Yeah.
It's just a generic. The house is going to go here. This is the suggested finished floor elevation. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to hold the developer to how they configure the house on that lot, what side of the house the driveway goes on.
So who reviews all these grading plans?
It would be another code enforcement task. But it would save a whole lot of aggravation for a whole lot of homeowners down there.
Would it come to planning board first? I mean,
no, because every house footprint's different.
See, but when they do the plans, it'll say atypical three-bedroom house.
Yeah.
That changes the minute the lot is sold and the guy says, this is the house I want on my lot.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't know how to review it, but it sounds like it's a gargantuan amount of work to review grading plans.
Not at all. You have simple contours on a one-foot interval, it's not a big deal. It really isn't. Water flows perpendicular to the contours. You make sure it flows away from the house and around to where there's facilities to convey the water.
So point to 60 houses, and so I'm just using that as an example. Appalachia would have sent in a grading plan for that whole development?
Yeah, the surveyor's already out there to get the existing grades. The builder or architect has already set the finished floor elevation.
Right, but someone has to review it and say, this is okay.
It shouldn't take that long to review that, Bob.
I mean, I don't know.
Shouldn't be more than a 10-minute...
Another job to Tim's plate.
That's why most towns have 3 or 4 people working in the code enforcement office, because they're doing this type of stuff that is good common sense code enforcement practices.
So
that's why we, for years, we've only had one person in the code enforcement office, because we were just ignoring a lot of this common sense stuff that can save homeowners a lot of aggravation, time, and money going down the road.
So can I don't want this to come off as critical, and it's not, but I've been on the town board since 2014, so that's 6 years. This is the first time. This sounds, to me, a really significant thing. How come we haven't talked about this?
We've talked about this. I brought it to the board at least 3 times that I can think of. At least 3. I know Jerry and we have talked about the site grading plan.
About it a couple times.
Yeah.
In regards to our plan for the driveway permits, not just out in the country, but in the developments too.
Yeah, we've talked about
problems, and it's based on grade elevation.
And that would be encompassed with the driveway plan that we did talk about this year. Was now you got the grading element of it too, right? So
yeah. Well, the grading element helps a guy like me when I'm reviewing where the driveway is going to hit my road.
Right.
But I mean, otherwise, how does Jerry know? But our code says the driveway can't be more than 10% grading. How does Jerry know that if he doesn't know what the finished floor elevation of the house is and what the elevation is at the road frontage?
You know, there's a garage and a dump out in relationship to the road.
A great example of it is what they did over here in on Samantha Drive in
behind Tess Holmes.
No, Samantha Drive over here in Madison. What's the name of that development?
Crimson Ridge.
We got some driveways on the left hand side of the road that the plot plan came in, shows the house and the building footprint, but rather than cutting the lot down as was approved in the planning board drawings that were approved, the developer just put the house at the elevation of the existing grade, and you got driveways that are 12-14%.
You could park your car in that driveway and it ends up in the street. in the winter time. It slides right out into the river.
I mean, that's a great example, but if you look at the grading plan that was approved by the planning board, it shows those finished houses, finished floor elevations for those houses 2 and 3 foot lower than what they ended up.
So how does it happen that we adopt the roads and we do all of this after a developer does that?
We don't require any grades on, all we require for a survey, the only survey requirement that we have for a new house is that you show a boundary survey and you show that the footprint of the home sits within the required setback lines. Wow. Only thing we require, nothing else.
The plan that was agreed by the planning board was different than the one that was the finished product.
How does Tim know what those elevations are supposed to be if the builder doesn't give them to him? Tim has to assume that the builders are complying with what the approved planning board drawings show.
So how would one more piece of legislation?
It requires the actual data so that you can hold the builder's feet to the fire that, no, the finished floor has to be this because this is what the grading plan says. And if he gets out there and it don't look right, he can say, where's your benchmark? Shoot your benchmark, shoot the elevation of your footer, and show me that this works.
And how this legislation would not rectify existing issues, it would only prevent future issues.
Right,
right.
That in itself would be a benefit because as they build out more and more in the town, you get into tougher areas to build where you'll have more and more problems. You know what I mean? The flat topography is not so much. You know, the easiest areas to build right now is so now you're getting into the wetter areas, the topography is more rolly. Like Crimson Ridge, that's one of the newest parts of Radisson. And you got houses on the hills.
It's only new. You know.
How much more of it costs
done is done.
To put out the builders?
A few $100. I mean, the surveyor's already going out there to stake out the footprint of the building and do the boundary survey. It might be 3 or 4 hours of surveyor time. It's just not, in the whole grand scheme of things, I mean, most new houses that are constructed nowadays are $350,000 to $400,000. And in the whole grand scheme of things, it's a small increase that can provide a lot of benefit to the future.
That is spread over 30-year mortgage. Nothing for interest rates now.
So again, I would say the same with decks and fences. This would be something Tim would talk about. Because I'm not worried about the $300 or $400 when you're building a $300 home. I'm not worried about. I'm worried about something that seems so right and so perfect, but it ends up costing the town money because we need to hire more personnel.
I mean, and
I know there's an argument for that. So I'm not arguing either way. I'm saying it might be a good idea to have Tim weigh in on this as well. Does that make sense?
Yep.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's just, this is why you see most code enforcement offices in the area for local towns have double or triple the staff.
Van Buren only has one.
They do, but Van Buren's half the population and builds half the number of houses a year.
They're doing a lot of building over there, but I'm not saying that we shouldn't move forward. But I mean, there are places that have less than us too. But that's why I agree with Pete on this issue that we should, we need to have more conversation about this to see what kind of impact it's going to be on Tim's office. And in fact, if he can't handle it with the personnel that he has, and it sounds like that he can't.
Well, then we also have the shared services agreement.
What's that?
We also have the shared services agreement that we signed too, though, right?
Yeah, but that's not
what I do.
Yeah.
But the code enforcement officers from like Van Buren or from any other town that we're hoping to utilize are not going to be familiar with our codes, so I don't expect them to really be.
So what was the point of approving that?
I don't think it's more to read the code.
They got
to
read it.
I was thinking that the shared services is more for vehicles, helping Jerry out or anything to that.
No, that's specific to codes.
Yeah, that was actually, yeah.
I remember a conversation a couple of years ago where we discussed it with Joe, and I thought that was one of the biggest pushbacks we had was that every town is pretty different when it comes to their codes.
Salary.
Well, this sounds like the right thing to do.
Yeah, we got to ask them.
But part of it should be cost and revenue. And if it's going to cost us more, we have to hire some extra helpers in, then we need to build that into the, to the, maybe we add, you know, there's an extra charge to what we're charging developers.
I mean, our building permit fees are very low compared to.
So that's all part of this. I'd like to see the cost, the revenue, and the program. And while we're talking about costs, and Tim, are you at all, not Tim, Al, are you at all concerned about engineer fees this year? Your budget at $104,000?
Obviously, the last 2 months with no construction going on, we're slower than normal from a construction standpoint, for sure. Now it's full steam ahead. I get stuff going on all the time. But for the last 2 months, yeah, our revenues will be down slightly.
Well, we lowered you for 2020 from 122 to 104, so I'm curious how much to bring in. So I just hope we're going to make that.
I can't say that yet. I mean, it depends on if we continue to see action at the planning board level. Right now, the planning board's pretty busy. Who knows what happens with the economy right now? I mean, if the economy does what they're predicting it's going to do, I could see building coming to a pretty stiff halt, new development coming to a pretty stiff halt in kind of a short amount of time. It really depends on what happens if builders are still comfortable with taking the risk with the unknown economic circumstances that we have. And those are totally out of our control.
But I think it's
that's a $500,000 impact. It's $400,000 in mortgage fees, and then your $104,000 from.
Well, I mean, it's not that I'm going to go to nothing because, like I said, we have several. Right now, the planning board work is significant, and we're fairly busy. Well,
that's a chunk of our budget.
So the question then is, speaking about fees, I read in the paper about this solar farm going in there, right? And they're getting a tax break through OSIDA.
Not through the town.
But through OSIDA. So they're getting a tax break through OSIDA, the building.
Town opted out. The town, OSIDA can't assign a pilot for the town tax. We passed a local law opting out of the pilot program for town taxes. OSIDA can only control.
So we have to pay town tax?
Correct.
Okay.
On the full assessed value of the facilities. Well, county and school tax. The school district did the same thing.
One of the smartest things we did.
So, yeah, we'll get our full, full fair share on that one.
I mean, but it's a fair assumption that our tax revenues are going to be down.
That's
just the way it is. And that's why back in May we had that discussion. We needed to really start thinking about, you know, tightening our belts back then, because there's no way that we're going to make up the revenues that we had projected, because things have changed. Now, how much of that? Who knows? I know the state's in $16 billion. 3 weeks ago, the county was down $40 million. So, you know, we can just go from that. There's substantial revenue that's going to be lost by us, and there's nothing we can do about it. That slows everybody down.
So, yeah, site building permits. Did we talk about that yet?
That's as of right now, exactly, revenue isn't all that far.
That's exactly why we have to be careful about the legislation we pass, because we don't want to add. Right now is not the time to add positions so that we can keep track of who's having a fence or who's building a fence. You know, and I'm not saying that they aren't good ideas, I'm not saying they don't, you know, there aren't benefits to it either. I'm not saying that at all, but that is one of the reasons.
Yeah, and nothing saying.
I'm so adamant about having Tim in here and seeing if it really will affect him.
And nothing saying we can't move forward with that, and when the timing's right, to do what we need to do. Nothing says we have to do it now, because I agree with you. But adding additional costs right now is not a prudent thing to do for anybody, for us, for homeowners. So You know, but it's, you know, maybe we, it gives us time to work at it at least, and we come up with a comprehensive plan and decide when we want to institute it. I don't think that's a bad idea.
But the only cost to the homeowner is them spending an extra $25 when they're spending $5-10 grand for a fence. So if they don't build a fence, there's no cost to them.
Yeah, it's a cost. There's us.
Right, but if we get the...
Well, we were talking, I think we were talking for the whole package.
Yeah,
you know,
but
if you start adding all these things in, now we got to add quick delivery.
Yeah, I don't want to add ahead, just to add ahead and cost taxpayers money, but if we could justify it, we need to justify the role. If that role could be justified, then it's a different story.
I mean, our building permit fees are, comparatively speaking, we're really low.
What do you mean really low? Like, what's an average building permit fee out there?
Tim's got the data, but I want to say we're like the second or third lowest in the county from a fee standpoint. I mean, we're not at the very bottom. I want to say one of those south towns like Pompeii or somebody is at the very bottom, but we're pretty close as far as what our fee schedule is to be at the very bottom.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, that shouldn't drive our decisions.
No,
I think that's a good thing, but at least what you're saying, to your point, there is some room for movement without being oppressive,
exactly.
And that's what we don't want to be.
Let's face it, there's a big, I just talked to a builder yesterday that said there's more lot inventory in the town of Lysander than any other town in the county. And he predicts that the town of Lysander in the next decade will be the fastest growing town in the county. An extra $200 or $300 on a building permit isn't going to stop somebody from building a house here now. Not when we're the second lowest tax rate. So, I mean, either you're going to have low taxes or you're going to have low fees. But having low of both doesn't necessarily make the math add up to balancing your budget.
Except that.
What's that? Well, you see what I'm saying?
Except that historically.
Yeah. But historically, we've also not necessarily been doing some of the things that the majority of towns around us do, and...
Then why would you build here? I mean, we can go back and forth.
Didn't we raise building fees like 3 years ago?
This is a pretty good place.
5 years ago now. 4 or 5 years ago. Chris, you're joking.
So how about we do this? We'll move forward with Tim. We'll start, you know, putting some numbers together, some statistics, some plans, and then we'll start talking about it. You know, we don't, like I said, nothing saying we got to schedule a decision, but I think we want to start talking about it though, right?
Absolutely.
Move forward with it. Okay, so we can do that. But was there anything else other than
site building permits?
All right, while we're on that. Want to talk about that? Whose was that?
That's not
me. Right.
Who put that on?
I didn't put site building permits on. I talked to Jeff about permits for decks and fences and then grading plans. I think maybe there's a mistake there. Grading plans for site building permits.
Oh,
is it necessary?
I was going to look at Dina. Yeah.
I just copied it from the email.
Oh, okay. I don't know who put that. All right. So we'll take that off. We already talked about that. Why don't we talk?
That's it.
Well, why don't we let Jerry talk about his position that he wants to staff?
Oh. Yeah, you guys had questions. This was all part of a discussion we had back on February 6th about the. We had to come up with a name for it because you can't have two highway secretaries, so we called it a clerk. But we all kicked it around on February 6th because I wouldn't have moved forward with posting for the job or interviewing people for the job or deciding who was going to get the job if it wasn't okay. So we did that on February 6th. I heard there was a question about money. Am I right? You know, her pay? Because even that was discussed February 6th, and it was Bob Gerasi made the comment, you know, call it what you want, pay it what you want. It's a good idea. you know, this adjunct assistant for our office. So, and I heard on the tape, I don't even know which one of you said something like, where does he get his wage out of thin air? You guys ought to know me well enough to know by now that I do research before I do anything. And just to give you an example, this is a clerk position, okay? It seemed to be your biggest question was what I was going to pay her. And I established $15.50 as a pay rate, so you've got room to progress as the person learns the job. But just so you know, I took a look at, because once we established calling it a clerk position, because that's really kind of what it is, at the county level, a clerk is what they call a pay grade 2. In 2016, a clerk pay grade 2 in the county was $15.94 an hour. So technically I'm not paying her what a clerk job really is. My current secretary at the highway department, she's a bit over $17 an hour. So just throwing that out there. We discussed all this at one point in time, what are you gonna pay her? But I'm just giving you an example. In 2016, it was $15.94. And I've got it up to 2019. 2019 pay grade 2 is what a clerk is in the county, was $16.91. So I'm well below that. The person that I offered the job to was happy with $15.50. Thought we were all good. So I'm just explaining that to you, how I arrived at that figure was not just something plucked out of the air, okay? I figured it like we do so many things, $15.50. She learns the job, she's trained in the job, you know, she's doing well in the job, no problems. 6 months down the road is your budget time, you know, if she's doing well. I mean, I don't know how much longer Cindy's gonna work for me, you know, so this person's gonna get trained and you got a lot to do. Let's say you're doing great by fall, and it's budget time. We've seen it done here before with other positions. You know, if you're doing good 6 months from now, we bump you 50 cents. And she's still below the 2016.
Well, we're not gonna negotiate raises. Let's just talk about
it. I get it.
Let's just talk
but
about
it. I'm just saying, you know, I'm giving you the final thought.
No, I got it. 15, yeah, 50. I got it. But that's all.
Give her some room.
Yeah, that's contractual too. So let's negotiate a contract. Let's talk about the starting pay, because
but that, that's where the 15.50 came okay. from. You got to give yourself room to progress the person.
I got you.
Gary, what forward. Is the title that Cindy is in?
Cindy is, her title is secretary to the highway superintendent. And that's can't have two. Title.
And who says you can't have two?
County personnel.
County personnel.
Did they say what?
I didn't ask her why, but we had the discussion, and that's what's allowed. You know, I didn't ask her why that's allowed, but she was, I forget the lady's name that is our representative from county personnel, but you know, she was certain that, yeah, you can only have one person in that position. Because it's an appointed, if I was to guess, it's an appointed position. So you can't have 20 appointed positions, because then it defeats civil service. So I, you know, I didn't ask her that. I just assumed that. So
that's
what I
assumed. Appointed position.
So yeah. is the pay grade for the highway superintendent also arbitrary, or is there an entry level pay grade for that position?
For who?
For the highway secretary.
Secretary. I didn't ask that question, but I would imagine from my experience, what I've seen is an elected official can pay their appointed secretary, whatever they choose to appoint.
However, in the case of mine,
I'm not positive on that though.
At budget time, I would request something for her, a bump in her hourly rate. Now, the last time around, one of the times that I had requested a bump in her rate, keep up with inflation or whatever, okay, mathematically, I guess 2.5% or something went through the hall, and she got that. That's how she arrived at where she is now. The last time everybody over here got a raise, she was lumped in with that. So it's weird in some ways that this position sometimes is affected by what happens over here, and but yet it's my appointed position over there.
So she's not in any of those, she's not in the Teamsters Union?
No, no.
And the clerk would not be in the Teamsters Union?
Correct.
The clerk could be.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about what you guys got going on.
I don't know
here.
If that's true.
Yeah.
So that would have to be a question, because she isn't in an appointed position. That's an additional position, so she may be entitled to be in the union.
Even if it's part-time?
I don't know. That's something I got to check. You know, I hadn't thought about that. The question hadn't come up, so that's something I would have to check.
Because my appointed secretary to the highway superintendent is part-time. You know,
because there are some part-time people that are going to be eligible for it. I believe the clerks in the Justice Court are eligible to be part of the union, and they're part-time.
Yeah, and there's part-time.
Well, I have part-time wingmen. They're all in it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Where I'm coming from, guys, is, you know, I want to get away from arbitrarily assigning a pay rate or a pay grade any position, whether it's a wingman, which you don't arbitrarily assign a pay rate. That's a rate that the town of Lysander has had. We must have voted on it.
It's well, it's contract.
I don't think that you're going to have to worry about that, because we're mandated now to have to negotiate with employees that are going to form a union. So once they form that union, they'll have to be set. They'll have to. So we won't have to worry about that concern, because it'll be when we sit down with the Teamsters Union, we're going to have to ferret out what each position gets. That's how union contracts are. So that won't be an issue moving forward.
Okay, and so what will be an issue is if we pay this person $15.50 now, and don't get me wrong, guys, it's probably the right grade, but if we pay it, that's going to be the benchmark in terms of our negotiations with the Teamsters. They're not going to go any lower than $15.50. They may say, you're not paying enough. And so my question is,
they're always going to say we're not paying enough. I can tell you that.
But that's going to be their benchmark.
Okay.
They're not going to go any lower. If we were paying $15.35, that would be the benchmark. So I guess the question to you, Bob, and maybe Dina, is there any position in this town that does clerical work that's similar to what we think the highway clerk position is going to do, that is being paid anywhere near $15.50 an hour? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know what the highway clerk does. I don't really know what she does.
Well, the biggest thing to look at that is she, this new hire, part-time, just like my appointed person, okay, works in her absence once trained. And my current one is well over $17 an hour. This one's at $15.50.
Well, your current one's been there 15 years, too, so.
14, but yeah.
Okay, so there's gonna be a difference along
those lines, okay, I'll give you an example. I've got daughters that are both in the banking business. And you could go in and one of them can be in there 10 years and be at such and such a pay level. In the private industry, a new hire comes in as a new, let's say they're a teller, okay, making X an hour. A new teller is hired, this one's been here 10 years. This one's lucky if they're even a dollar less than that one. You know, they're very close.
And then, not more.
No,
the new person, in my scenarios where the new people are getting paid more than the old people.
Yeah, and that happens in private industry.
Right.
Traditionally, in government, if you have time and grade,
you're gonna
make more. Yeah. I mean, they compensate you for it, because the salary really isn't comparable to most public sector or private sector jobs. So that's how they're able to. They throw in longevity in there.
All right. So Bob, is there anybody in this building that does clerical work what is their salary? What is their pay rate?
I believe there's one person, Paul. That's a part-time person that's in
the assessor's office.
The assessor's office, yes. And Paul makes less than that, but I don't know what Paul's responsibilities are, comparable to what Jerry's asking.
Would be comparable to mine.
Right.
So wouldn't Jerry make the call for how much that he's gonna pay his person, and then the town, wait a minute, and then the town board approves that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just trying to say, I mean, how much is it, $15.50?
$15.50.
So then, I don't know, I would think that would be fair.
I mean, soon enough, that's gonna be your...
Well...
If they're gonna handle everything...
Well, we have to negotiate with the union, so...
Oh, right, I forgot.
But in all honesty, this person...
They'll make sure that we're fair.
I forgot about the union.
You know, a clerk in the assessor's office, I can't see as having the duties and responsibilities of someone sitting in the chair over...
Well, I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
And it may be more, too. It may be more than what the person is over there. So
I compare it, knowing what I know what my current person does, and I compare more to a Nancy over here. You know, doing computer work, vouchers, you know, answering the phone, taking customer complaints, making notes, you know, dealing with vendors. I mean, there's a lot going on over there.
We're making the assumption again, though. We gotta be careful about making an assumption about what somebody else's job is. We don't We don't know what someone else's job is. Whether this one has more responsibilities than that one or that one or this one. I'd be careful making that assumption. I don't know. You don't know.
I just want you to know that Onondaga County, 3,500 employees, that they have every single title is graded by the personnel department and assigned a pay rate. Every single title. And I don't know why we're not moving in that direction. I think we're going to.
We are, though. That's what I'm telling you. Because Onondaga County is all union. The whole thing's union.
This is what I used to arrive at the 1550.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah, Onondaga County is totally union. That's why they do that, because in the union shop, that's how it's going to be. They can't do anything else. It has to be like that.
Right.
We, for the most part, are going to be a total union shop. So that's why I said to you, Bob, that issue that you're talking about, having everybody slotted in specific categories, is going to happen. We don't have any control over that, because we're going to be just about 100% union shop where it can be. So that will be taken care of.
And for that, I'll just say for the record, I'm happy about that aspect of the union, because I don't want to be accused of being arbitrary or where did you get that number from. You know, it'll be part of a bigger plan, which it'll take the decision away from every one of us and when we're going to face somebody. And that's good, because we can't, that takes away the whole accusation of being arbitrary or where did you come up with that number. And
well, it doesn't, because if the union doesn't like the salary that we want to pay them, then...
Well, you're right. I mean, there's no...
You're still in the same situation. Hopefully, we're going to be fair with our employees.
Yeah. And, you know, and not to pick on Paul, but his title is going to come up. And they're going to look at it and say, well, you're paying the clerk at the highway department and this, and you're only paying Paul 14. Paul's got to get... He's got to get a salary adjustment. Don't be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Well, this right here that I
don't know what you're looking at.
Well, it's CSEA, hourly salary schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. And this position that we're talking about, the terminology, the best comparable we could come up with by going in and looking at the different titles and stuff was what they call a clerk.
Right, clerk.
And this sheet right here, the highlighted one, is the grade two. That's what this one fell under. But this particular sheet has pay grade A, 2, 3, and Z, whatever that means. But the, like you said, each one of the people in the county, CSEA, that's what this is, they're all graded and rated, and they fall under a certain category. Like their highway guys, there's different grades for their pay, too. 1, 2s, and 3s. Based on the equipment they can operate and what they're capable of doing. So I felt that this was a good comparable for this terminology, and I'm still below what they were paying theirs in 2016. So I felt that it's a good spot to start, and this person was willing to start there.
And let's do it, but just fair warning, when the union gets established, all of the clerical titles will be reviewed by the union, and they will be tried to be put on par with one another, guaranteed. And if 1550 is the higher number of what we're now paying others, then that's going to be the benchmark. That's what's going to happen.
Now,
that's maybe okay, but that's what's going to happen.
Can I ask you something, though? Now, let's say Cindy retired in the fall. Mm-hmm. Now, this person becomes, if they're doing well, becomes now the secretary to the highway superintendent. Is that position of mine over there, like, let's put all this aside and say, Cindy, is she going to be in this union over here?
I can't imagine why not.
I'm just asking.
I don't think so.
Because it's an appointed position.
I don't think so. I think it's a, I'm not positive again, but I don't think so. Yeah, it's like a management confidential. Yeah.
But isn't the deputy town clerk position also?
Was that appointed by you?
It's also appointed by the town clerk.
But just for everybody,
were they included in the? They were.
Yes.
She's full time.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong then.
No,
I think the difference is she's full time.
She's full time.
But let's say that
Janet's full time.
Not so. Part of the.
Well, Janet was included.
Because she's full time.
Yeah.
Yours wasn't because she's part time.
Okay. Even the management confidential positions, every single one of them in Onondaga County, even though they don't belong to any union, they're put in a table of salaries compared to the union salaries. That's just what happens. So the secretary may not technically end up being in the union, and you know that's good for that person. But that title, in terms of the pay rate, I don't ever want to be arbitrarily assigning a pay rate to. We should pick a pay rate for that title based on what the union comes.
Nothing saying we can't do that.
That's what I want to do when Cindy retires. And we have a new union in place, we're going to come up with a salary schedule for the secretary, and that's what it's going to be.
Okay.
Who the highway superintendent is, or who the town board is.
Okay.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
Well, that way, everything is clear. And it's this is the job, this is what it pays.
Totally agree.
Okay.
All right. Does that make sense, Jerry?
It simplifies it.
Yeah,
but we're not there yet.
Well,
we will get there.
It'll happen
eventually.
Yeah. So I have one more question for you, Jerry.
Sure.
Well, I guess one. I'm just curious, like, how many people you interviewed, and can you tell us a little bit about this candidate? So if someone says, right. Hey, who's the new person you hired in your town?
Let's see. We
posted give us for it. A quick clip number.
Yeah, we posted for it. We put the word out. We were told we didn't even have to, but we did anyway, looking for interested people. Let everybody we knew, you know, guys at the job, hey, if you know someone that could handle this job, you know, bring them to us, you know. When all the dust settled, we had two candidates, both qualified, okay, both willing to accept that wage, okay. And it was a very hard decision which one to take because they both could do the job and learn the parts that they didn't know. This person, Alicia, last summer, she's not afraid to get dirty. She worked for the village as a part-time hire over the summer. They had her flagging traffic and painting hydrants and doing that kind of stuff, but her mother, I'll never get the name right, first name Mary, works in the village office as a clerk or something somewhere.
Mary.
What's the last
Mary
name?
In the village.
Obviously different last names.
I know who she is. I know who she is.
Yeah. But seems competent with the computer programs we're using, able to function with the emails, and obviously has a decent personality that when someone calls in, she's going to be able to get the information she needs. I mean, just seems like a decent, well-rounded personality of this individual. Obviously, it's important to me that this individual's personality works with me. That was the end-all decision as to which one I picked. I felt this one would be a better click with the type of work we have in the environment she's going to be working in. So that was the
pick. And I respect that. You should be able to hire who you're comfortable with. So.
Well, you kind of need to be.
You do. Is this, when you say part-time, is this like?
Up to 25 hours a week.
Up to 25 hours a week.
And we had discussed this in February, obviously, initially. They'll both be there for 2 to 3 weeks for her to learn the
different facets of the job, because everything doesn't happen in a day, you know, different things, different days. But, and then whenever there's absence of my regular one, I'll have someone there on the desk. And our office hours, starting next week, minor change, but the day after the holiday, it's 9 to 3. Our office will be open. Well, we're on 10-hour days like we are right now. That's 4 days a week, 6 hours a day. That's 24, okay, hours of the 25 available. In the winter months, when we're working 5 8-hour days, my secretary will work 9 to 2, and that's 5 fives is 25. So we're good with our budget and our costs, and our coverage will be better.
Mary Augustus.
Pardon me?
Mary Augustus.
That's the name. This is her daughter, I guess. I don't know Mary from anybody, but I had heard
Mary
that.
Worked in the assessor's office for a little while to cover when people were gone. Mary Augustus.
Okay. I don't know her mom from anybody. Had never met Alicia until she came in for an interview. So a couple people reached out to her and said, you need to talk to Jerry. People that knew her said, talk to Jerry.
Well, one of the things that I... that I'm not aware of ever occurring here is when somebody's on, there's a reason there's a probationary period.
Mm-hmm.
There's a probationary period to see if the person is a good fit for that position, also to offer them training. And then if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out, or to, in order to extend their amount of training. So what the only thing I would ask of you is that when the person's going through training, after they've been there a little while, like on some intervals, just to give us a note, this person's come along, this person's fitting out, so that we don't get to the end and right. say, you know, 2 years from now, oh, this person doesn't work out. Well, wait a minute. You know, we got a note here from you. Right. Geez, this person was able to A, B, C, D.
Just
and
to,
then
just
you should
to
be
help
able,
you with that.
Yeah.
The day I walked in the door over there, January 1st, 2018, was the first time I met my current secretary, okay? I'd never spoke to her, talked to her, met her. When I walked in the door, because it's an appointed position, that secretary said to me, hey, you know, I've been here with a couple superintendents, I'm willing to stay and work for you if you want, if you've got somebody of your own, that's okay. Well, she had institutional knowledge and it was beneficial to me when we were getting rolling, okay? Obviously, at some point, she's probably gonna wanna retire. You know, and that's what started to drive this, because it's the world's changed in the 14 years she's been there, where there's more important things that have to be done. It's not just record keeping anymore, and there's a lot to learn there. So, Cindy has institutional knowledge.
So it doesn't.
But she can pass this on to this girl before she runs off somewhere else.
So it doesn't need to be super comprehensive right now. I mean, eventually, I'd like to see, especially not only with the pay rates, but I'd like to see each one of our departments come up with some type of training program, so that when new people come in, that there's a structured level of training, so that not only we can say that the person can do the, or not only that they're trained in it, but there's some sort of documentation that they've been trained in it and they can accomplish it. So, you know, I just like if she listed 10 things, these are the critical areas, you know, 1 through 10, she was trained in all of them and performed successfully. That's all.
Because initial assessments of anybody that I would ever take in an employee, even in the private world 40 years ago, are they on time? That's A number one. Are you here on time, ready for work? And that's where you jump off. And then, are you learning new tasks? And
we
can work together to come up.
Does she know how to fill out a voucher and the process it?
Right.
You know, order equipment, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what your secretary does. So I can't give you a list.
A lot of varied tasks.
Yeah, so if you come up with a list of 10 things and then say, yes, this person was trained in them and they can perform them successfully. Yep. Just so we have it, so we can put it in their personnel records.
That's absolutely
not a problem.
Great to do.
Okay.
That ain't a problem.
We good? Any more discussion?
Nope.
Okay. Want to start a meeting?
Well, before you start the meeting.
Yep.
Tony's good.
Just to clarify, with them, all the right people are in the room. We're all using town email again, right?
As long as it's working. Is that working for everyone?
Well, it's working.
No, I'm still waiting to, I'm still working on my email address or something.
Wait a minute, you haven't been getting any emails?
No.
We'll do it when we
How long has it been since you haven't been getting emails?
A couple weeks.
Huh?
I think you wanted to.
Okay, call me, because I got to have that guy call you.
I already spoke with Dale. I'm still communicating back and forth.
I just wanted to try to figure that out.
Well, let me,
You got to let me know. I don't want to go on.
They'll call you directly and help you with it.
Sorry. There's probably the iOS settings for the mobile app.
Should I give my email, so maybe...
Do you have a personal email?
Yeah.
So what should we do?
I'll text. Okay. Town email.
City got hurt, so I guess I'll start.
So I think this is a question for Al.
Yep.
I'm just wanting to know when I use an email, should I use the town email or should I continue to use personal emails? Maybe I need to do both.
Well, I think if you have the ability to use a town email, that would be the more appropriate one to use.
Which is the Outlook one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think everybody should use that.
Yeah, everybody should. I just hope it's all working. It sounds like Roman hasn't had access to it.
No, it shut down. I got an email from Al a week ago with posted on my computer, but the emails are not going to the iOS guys.
I sent an email out this morning to both personal and town email addresses. Did you get the town email?
I believe I got yours.
I
would assume I got it. I'm behind on my emails.
Then for this point forward, I'm using town email and send me stuff on town email.
Oh, you got it.
What I was going to say is you sent it to both my town and my personal.
Correct.
It came to my personal. It didn't come to my town, but I know my town email is working because I get email from everybody else.
Let me know as soon as possible if you're not if there's something wrong.
Well, I'm getting your email. I'm getting the minutes. I'm getting the agenda. So I don't get an email. Maybe I'll try sending a test email out to certain people to see.
Yes, that's not a good one.
And at Roman, you're not getting them?
Not yet. No, the town email address is still got problems with it.
Can you want to work with Al then and get him resolved?
He's got an Apple. I just don't know Apple, so I have him working with the QStack guys. Did they get a hold of you today? Or?
I got a text message from him later.
Okay.
So all lowercase.
No careful lessons here.
Right. Okay. So you're all set.
All right.
You ready?
Tony, do you need to go over here?
Call the meeting to order at 6:27. So the pledge.
Pledge of allegiance.